Holding on Pei Tes, Umud Beis, about the middle of the Umud, Vayiyachad Varma'ela, about two-thirds of the way down the narrow lines. The last thing we learned was that when a Navi comes and tells us that we should to do something, and the question is, how do we know whether we should listen to him, especially if what he's saying is on the face of it against Torah? So we said, where he's a Navi Muchzak, where we have a Chazaka that he's a Navi, then we have to listen to him, even if he doesn't give an Ois. And otherwise, implicitly, the idea was that if he's a new starting out Navi, then he has to give an Ois, he has to give some kind of sign to show that he's a genuine Navi. The Rambam explains, based on various Gemaras over here and elsewhere, that what it is the Navi, in order the Ois that the Navi says is that he predicts something and it comes true in every detail. If even one detail doesn't come true, then we know he's not a Navi Emes. Anyway, so in that connection, the Gemara had said, after all, otherwise, how did Yitzchak listen to Avraham at Haran Moriah and be willing to be brought as a korban, which on the face of it is against everything that the Torah says? And how would people listen to Eliyahu b'Har HaKarmel and bring a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash? Tosfos actually discusses over here the question: is it that Eliyahu is actually telling them nevuah to do it, or is it that Eliyahu is doing it in his role as a great Talmid Chacham, whereas we know from other Gemaras that the Chachamim sometimes have the ability to override Divrei Torah temporarily. We learned this earlier in the Masechta. For example, we had a couple of cases where the Sanhedrin punished somebody with a punishment that wasn't usually allowed al pi Torah, but they did it or warranted al pi Torah, but they did that because people were being careless with mitzvahs. So in that case with Eliyahu over here, it could have also been in his role as the greatest Talmid Chacham of his generation. Anyway, so now having mentioned the Akedah, so now the Gemara goes into a little bit of Agadah on the subject. The pasuk is Vayihi achar advarim ha'eleh. It happened after these things. Va'elokim nisa es Avraham, that Hashem tested Avraham. So achar mai, when we say achar advarim ha'eleh, after what? Or my achar, it says on the side. What does it mean, achar? Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra, achar dvarav shel satan. It means after the words of the satan. Dichtiv, now you have in the previous perek. Now, to be sure, the previous perek happens many years earlier, but still, sometimes the satan takes the long view. Dichtiv, vayigdala yelad vayigom avagomer. The pasuk says that the child, Yitzchak, grew up and was weaned. There's actually different, the general understanding as it means when he was weaned at 2 years old, and now he's reached a significant stage in his development, and therefore Avraham made a party to celebrate. There's different other possibilities, including the Medrash says it was actually Yitzchak's bar mitzvah, and Tosfos and Shabbos brings that it was Yitzchak's bris. Whatever the case, the point is that Avraham made a big party. Vayas Avraham mishta gadol. So Omar Satan the Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Satan says to Hashem Rebbeinu Shlalom, Zokin ze chananta lemei shana pri beten. This old man, you finally gave him, you graciously gave him at 100 years old a baby. Mikol soda sha'osa lehoya lo tor echad and goizel echad lahakri v'fanecha. Out of that whole soda that he made, he didn't have even one turtle dove or one dove to bring you as a korban, because we don't see in connection with that party. It doesn't say that Avraham built a mizbeach and brought a korban as you have at various other times in Avraham's lifetime. So the satan is accusing Avraham that he made the whole party and he didn't offer anything to Hashem. Omaloi, so Hashem says, Klum osa ela b'shvil b'noi. What do you think? The whole party that he made was specifically for his son. Imani omaloi zvachas bin cholofanai. Now, if I were to tell Avraham, bring your own son as a korban before me, never mind one dove or one turtle dove. If I told him the actual son himself that you just made this whole party for, that you should bring him as a korban, miyad zoivchoi, he would right away bring him as a korban. So no, the fact that Avraham didn't bring a korban by that party is because of other considerations, not because he's not grateful to me. So sure enough, therefore miyad, so right away, or not literally right away because it was years later, but anyway, v'elokim nisa es Avraham, then Hashem tested Avraham and told him to bring Yitzchak as a korban, and in fact he did that. So that's one explanation of of achar advarim ha'eleh. After the Sutton's accusation and after Hashem's whole discussion back and forth about it with him. So okay, yeah. So Ben Yoda points out that yeah, I mean, it's many, many years later. How can we say it's right away? But he says that he thinks that for sure. He explains the Sutton is thinking that maybe Hashem will tell him this this thing right away, and then maybe Hashem will tell him to sacrifice Yitzchak right away, and then Hashem will give him another son, so that way he'll continue his line. And that way, the whole point was the Akedah on the face of it is a contradiction to what Hashem had told Avraham that ki bi Yitzchak yikar. So fine, maybe Hashem will right away after the Suda tell Avraham to sacrifice Yitzchak, and Avraham will go and do that, and he'll actually be sacrificed, and then Hashem will give Avraham another son. So now he's arguing again and again. But now the Sutton realizes if that happens, then yeah, Avraham's gonna have a tremendous schus, and I'm not gonna have anything to accuse him. So he thinks that he so the Sutton figures to play the long game and to wait with the Kitrug until years later. Okay, so in other words, Miyad, right away, the Sultan came up with this idea, but he didn't actually put it into practice until years later because he figured otherwise Avraham is going to have too much schus. Okay, so that's one explanation. That's an explanation. And there's other explanations in Midrashim that it means after Yitzchak and Yishmael had an argument, but here the Gemara just brings the one. Next, the Pasuk says, "Vayomer kach noas bincha." Hashem says, "Please take your son." Amar Rav Shimon Abba, "Ein na ela loshen bakasha." This loshen of na is a loshen of bakasha, of pleading. Moshe l'melach basav adam she'amdu al mochamis habe. So it's like a human king where there were many wars against him. Vayomer giber echad v'nitzchan. He had one particular mighty man who beat them every time and would win the war. Then eventually there comes a particularly strong battle. So he says, I plead with you, please stand up in this battle and win this battle for me as well. So people don't think that the earlier ones don't count for anything. So the same way Hashem is saying to Avraham, no, he's pleading with him to please pass this test because he's saying I've tested you with many tests up until now, and you always pass them. And now you when you withstood all of them. So now please withstand this nisoyin for me, shalayomru, so that people don't say ein mamash but shown him that the other ones don't count for anything. Now, what does that mean? How would people think all of a sudden he doesn't manage to pass this particularly supreme test that all the other ones don't count? So there's a sicha in Chelek Chof actually where the Rebbe talks about the idea that we know Avraham brought in the whole concept of Mesiras Nefesh into the world. Up until now, you could say that his Mesiras Nefesh, there was still room for it in Seichel of Kedusha. When it comes to when it comes to the Akedah, not only does it contradict everything that Hashem seemingly that Hashem, does it seemingly contradict everything that Hashem promised Avraham until now, that through Yitzchak you're going to have generations of descendants of the Jewish people and so forth. You can't even say that he's doing it in public to make a Kiddush Hashem because he's not. Even his Na'orim weren't there. He tells the Na'orim to stay behind, and he and Yitzchak go alone. So it's not even going to be that there's a Mesiras Nefesh over there that's going to publicize of a course in the world. So therefore, if he doesn't pass it, then people are going to say Ein Behem Mamash, that it means, in other words, doesn't touch the Mamoshus, the Etzem of the Nefesh. So as opposed to if he passes that, then it's true. It's not going to be a public thing that everybody's going to see at the time, but afterwards everybody's going to realize that Mesiras Nefesh is not just about where there's any room for it in Seichel of Kedusha, but even when there's not. Next. Hashem tells him es bincha, and yeah, and Avraham answers back, which one? Beis bonim yeshli. I have two sons. So Hashem tells him es yechidcha, your only son. Avraham says zeh yachad le'ima v'zeh yachad le'ima. Each one is an only son to his mother, Hagar and Sarah, respectively. So Hashem tells him, Asher Ahavta, he says, the one that you love. Avraham says, Tavayu Rachimna Lahu, I love them both. So finally Hashem tells him es Yitzchak. The lama, the chol kach lama. Why did Hashem go to that extreme? Why didn't Hashem straight out tell him Yitzchak in the first place? So that he doesn't get confused. In other words, when he hears it all of a sudden, not bring Yitzchak as a korban. When he goes and if he goes and does it, people might say, well, you know what? Okay, listen. You know, Hashem shocked him like that, and he didn't. He just did it without even thinking. You know, and then only afterwards does he realize, wait a minute, what am I doing over here? But like this, when he goes through this whole back and forth, and then Hashem finally tells him, Yitzchak, then it's clear that he's doing it with a full mind, and that he really has put thought into it, and he's doing it, and he's doing it sincerely. Famous vote I heard when I was younger, in the name of Rameir Kahana Hayad, that he says, you see how you shouldn't start too much with questions. If Avraham hadn't asked questions, so many questions, and he had just taken it as a given, okay, Hashem wants me to sacrifice my son, fine, I'll go sacrifice Yishmael. Well, we would have spared ourselves a lot of trouble from Yishmael over the centuries. Okay. Anyway, going on. So the Gemara says, "Kidmos Satan Laderach." The Satan came ahead of Avraham on the road. He encountered him on the road and was trying to talk him out of it. Omaloy, and he says to him, and now the words that the Satan are going to use over here, the Gemara is borrowing from the most of the words, most of the going back and forth is taken from one of the dialogues between Eov and his friends. So after in Sefer Eov, after Eov has all of his troubles and his friends come to talk with him. So you have at the beginning of Perek Dalet over there, you have a speech by Eliphaz HaTemani. So the Gemara is borrowing psukim and phrases from there and putting them in the Satan's mouth that he's using those same arguments against Avraham. There is a connection, by the way. The Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that that Eov was a tzaddik to a certain extent on the level of Avraham in his own way. So therefore, so the Gemara is a, so therefore the Gemara can use. And Maharsha points out also that Eliphaz is using these arguments to say to Eov, you think that you're suffering unjustly. No, there's very good reason for it. So now the Satan is using those words against Avraham to try and talk him out of his tzidkus. So Amalai says to him in the words of the pasuk, "Hanisa dover elechatile." Is it right that that he should be testing you with something that's going to wear you out? That he, Hashem, is testing you. Fine, Hashem has tested you until now with many things, but this that's going to wear you out and kill off your children. Is it right that Hashem is testing you with that? And he continues with the next pasuk, "Hinei yisarta rabim." You have, behold, you have given Musar to many people, and you've taught everybody in the world about Hashem. V'yadayim rofes techazik, and you've strengthened weak hands. People who have a weakness in their amunah, you've strengthened them. Kosho yikimun milecha. Anyone who is stumbling and faltering, your words. Lifted them up, and you taught them how Hashem is just and fair, and so on and so forth. And now what you're doing over here seems to contradict that. And he continues, "Ki ata tova elacha." Now this is coming to you, vatela, and it's wearing you out. It's going to be you. You're going to be bringing your son as a korban, and everything that you did now is going to be useless as a result of that. So this is the Satan's argument to Avram. You've spent your whole life teaching the world about Elikus, and everybody knows that Hashem promised you a son, that you're going to have a Jewish people through them, and now what you're going to do is going to undo all of that. Amalois, Avram answers him, this next one is not from the Psukim in Eo, but rather Avram answers him with a phrase from Tilim. I'm going to go in my Tmimus. I'm not making Cheshbonus. The Eibishter told me that I know this is what I have to do. By the way, in connection with the Gemara before, about the question was why Yitzchak, how Yitzchak could listen to Avraham, and the answer is that when Avraham is a Novi Muchzak, then we know that what he's saying is genuine. So the Maharatz Chayus points out the Gemara didn't ask the question how Avraham himself could do it. There's no question that when a Novi gets a Nevuah, he knows that this is a Nevuah from Hashem, and he has to follow it, even if it contradicts what the Torah says. The Gemara over here was explaining, the Gemara wanted to explain before how we know that how other people know to listen to him, and again, the answer was because he's a Novi Muchzik. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says this is why we in Rosh Hashanah davening we say the Akedas Yitzchok Tisko. We call it Akedas Yitzchok. We talk about it should be for the Schus of Yitzchok's descendants. Why not Avraham? And the answer is it's a greater thing for Yitzchok that that he didn't he didn't know. How could he know 100% for sure whether whether Hashem said this to Abraham, but he knew, since Abraham is a Navi Muchzak, then he has to listen to this. In fact, there's an explanation brought that this is the source of the whole concept that we follow Torah Shebaal Peh, we follow the Chachamim throughout the generations, all stems from this. The fact that Yitzchak was told as Torah Shebaal Peh that he should be brought as a Korban, and he listened, that gives us the Nesinas Koyach for all future generations, that we listen to the Chachamim and we listen to Torah Shebaal Peh as they explain it to us. Okay, so anyway, so going back to the Gemara over here, so Avram is saying to the Satan, never mind all your chashbonus, you're right, I don't understand how it makes sense, but the Eibishter told me and I'm going with the Tmimus. Omer loy, so the Satan continues to him with more psukim from Eov over there, halo yir oscha kislasecha, shouldn't you trust in your yira of Hashem, that it should protect you, and now on the contrary, it's not protecting you, you're losing out because of it. So here Avraham answers him with another pasuk from Eov over there. Zechorna mihu naki avad. Remember now, was there ever anybody who was innocent who lost out by it? Meaning, there's no way that I'm going to lose out by listening to Hashem. So all your arguments, all your rationalistic arguments or whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm certain that I'm not going to lose out by this. How I don't understand, but this is how it is. The Satan sees that Avraham is not listening to him. So he tells him with another phrase from the Psukim there in Eiv, the Eli Dover Yugunav. A matter has been sneaked to me. So now, like he's going to tell him, like a spoiler almost, like a preview of what's going to happen. I overheard from behind the partition, which is, so to speak, beyond which is Alakus. So I, being a Nivra, can't go at such a high level, but I heard from behind there that Hashem said, Hasela Olav and Yitzchak La'Ola, that in the end there was going to be a sheep, a ram, that's going to be brought as a korban, not Yitzchak. So in other words, he's trying to tell Avraham, you know what, it's fine. You know what, the truth is, Hashem is not going to have Yitzchak brought as a korban after all. And with this, he's also trying to weaken the Nisoyan for Avraham. If Avraham knows that after all, Yitzchak is not going to be brought as a korban, then he's going to think, oh, good, you know, then in that case, then the whole thing is a test, and then it's going to weaken the force of the test. So he's trying to do it that way. So Avram tells him, Kach oinsha shabadoi. You should know the punishment of a liar is shafilo oma emes ain't shemin. Even if what he said is true, you don't listen to him. So therefore, maybe what you're saying is true, maybe not. I don't know. But in any case, I'm not paying any attention to you. As far as I know, the Eibishter told me to sacrifice Yitzchak, and that's what I'm going to do. What the Eibishter's chashbonah, so I'm leaving up to him. So all of that is one drosha on Achar Advar Ma'ela, that it means that it was after the Satan tried to accuse Avraham, and then now he's trying to prevent Avraham from going to the Akedah. Famously, we know the Medrash tells us that the Satan made himself into a river to try to prevent Avraham and Yitzchak from crossing, from getting through. And they went through there, and then eventually the river split open, just like the Yamsuf, and it's in token of that. That's one reason why we go to a river for Tashlich. So now the Gemara says, yeah, here's the other explanation on Achad Dvarim Eila. Reb Levi Omer, Achad Dvarim Shor Yishmol LeYitzchok means after Yishmol and Yitzchok had been talking. Omer LeYishmol LeYitzchok, Ani Godor Memcho B'Mitzvahs. So Yishmol says, I'm greater than you in Mitzvahs. Sha'ata Malta Ben Shmoinas Shiyamim Va'ani Ben Shloishas Yishona. You were Gemalot at 8 days old when you didn't know better and you couldn't prevent it. And I, when I was 13, and I did it knowingly and I could have prevented it and I didn't. So Yitzchak says, "Me'ever echad atam garabi. You're provoking me. You're starting out with it. Ube'ever echad atam garabi. You're starting up with me based on one aver that you claim you were willing to offer one part of your body to Hashem, and you think that makes you greater than me. Im oimeli Hakadosh Baruch Hu zvach atam cholofanai. If Hashem were to tell me sacrifice yourself, your entire body before me, ani zeveach, then I would do it." Miyadva, the Kimni says Avraham, so then Hashem tested Avraham because he knew that Yitzchak is ready for that. So that's the other meaning of Achar Advarim Eila. Famous explanation of Pichsidus is that Yishmol's, that precisely that was exactly the point. Yishmol's Mila is based on rationality. He realizes at 13 years old it's the right thing to do, whereas Yitzchak's at 8 days old, and every Jewish baby boy after that is at 8 days old when they're too young to know the difference, because the Maila Mitam Vadas, it represents our essential bond with the Eibishter, something that's beyond Tam Vadas. Getting back now to matters of false Nevi'im and the punishments they get. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Navi Shi'idiach, if a Navi, if a false Navi tries to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, B'skila, then he gets skila. Reb Shimon Omer B'chenek. Reb Shimon says he gets chenek. same machloikas the other way around. Madicha erni dachas beskila, Reb Shimon oimer bechenek. And then you have the opposite machloikas when it comes to the people who convince the people of a city to become to worship Avodah Zarah, and thereby become an erni dachas. The Chum say those madichim get skila, and Reb Shimon says they get chenek. So let's work this out. Why? Navi shidiach b'skila, my time in the Rabbanon. Why do the Chachamim say that a false Navi who says to worship Avodah Zarah gets skila? So because Asya hadocha hadocha mimesis. They say because we learn a gzeira shava from the word ladichacha, where it says, which is the same shirdish as hadocha, as madiach, where it says by mesis. Now, by mesis, who comes to an individual person and tries to get him to worship Avodah Zarah, the expression in the pasuk is that the pasuk says that he should be executed because he was trying ladichacha to push you away from Hashem and make you worship Avodah Zarah. By the mesis, it said, by the Novi, rather, it just says Yumos, it just says he should be put to death without specifying the Misa. By the Mesis, a few psukim later, it says Uskalti ba'avonim v'meis, it says you should give him skila because kibikesh la'adichacha, because he's trying to seduce you away from Hashem. So therefore, malahalam b'skila, afkan b'skila, therefore the chamlo negzeder shava, just like the Mesis, who's trying to talk to an individual and get him to worship Avodah Zarah, he gets skila the same way the Novi, the false Novi, who also tries to say that you should worship Avodah Zarah should also get skila because it uses the same word la'adichacha by both of them. V'Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon answer that? He doesn't hold of that Zeta Shava. He didn't learn it from his Rebbeim. So he says, after all, it doesn't say by the Novi what kind of Misa he gets. So therefore, Misa Ksivabei, it only says Misa. V'chol Misa Amur v'Torah Stam Ein El Chenek. And when it says in the Torah Misa without specifying, it means Chenek. So that's why you have that Machalikas. Next, madiche irani dachas beskila. Why is it that the Chachamim hold that the people who tried to convince an irani dachas get skila? So it's not really, it's not the opposite. In both cases, the Chachamim are saying that he gets skila, and in both cases, Reb Shimon is saying that he gets chenek. So why by the irani dachas, the people who convinced them to become an irani dachas get skila? Why? My time is rabbanon. Then the answer is again, gamri hadocha hadocha. Because again, by the Irani Dachas, it also uses the same Shoresh Hadocha. They pushed away the people from worshiping Hashem and God and to worship Avodah Zarah. So we learn it from one. So and then again, we have the word Ladichacha by the false Navi and by the Mesis. So therefore, they can learn Gzeira Shava from one of those to the Madiche Irani Dachas, and therefore they all got Skila. Reb Shimon, whereas Reb Shimon answers, once he established that according to his opinion, the Navi Sheker gets Chenek and not Skila, because again, we said he doesn't hold of the first Gzeira Shava, he does have the Gzeira Shava over here, but only Gomer Hadocha Hadocha Mi Navi. He learns the Gzeira Shava from the Navi to the Madichir and Idachas, and the Navi, we said, gets Chenek. So here this Gzeira Shava, he did learn from his Rebbe, that's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, but the previous Gzeira Shava, not. So therefore, he says, once the Navi Sheker gets Chenek, then so do the Madichi Irani Dachas. So the one asks, why? Veligma mi Mesis. Why Taka doesn't he learn from Mesis? We often find, by the way, that the Chachamim would have the words for Gzeira Shava, but not where they apply. So given that Reb Shimon learned this Gzeira Shava of the words, of the word Hidiach, Hadocha, from one place to the other, what makes him say, or his Rebbeim say logically, that it comes from the Navi rather than from the Mesis? And the answer is because donin mesis rabim mi mesis rabim. Because it's more logical to learn from the one who's mesis many people, namely the ones who are mesis a whole city to become an irani dachas mi mesis rabim, from somebody who's trying to convince a whole bunch of people, namely a Navi. The ain donin mesis rabim mi mesis yachid, whereas it's not so logical to learn from somebody who's trying to be mesis as an individual. Therefore, Reb Shimon says it's less likely to. Now, it's true, of course, that the Navi conceivably could be talking to an individual, but practically speaking, a Navi usually is talking to a bunch of people. In fact, the Binyan Shlomo points out by the Navi, it says it in plural. Neochav navda lekim achirim. Asher yidatem, that you don't know, whereas that you didn't know until now, whereas by the Mesis of the Yochid, that says Asher yadaita, So therefore, the Navi we would assume is talking to a Rabbim, and the Madiach of an Ir HaNidachas, of course, is by definition also talking to the Rabbim. So Rabbi Shimon says it's more logical to make that Zeta Shava between them. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Adrabba don in hediyot mi hediyot, vein don in hediyot mi navi." On the contrary, though, wouldn't it be more logical to learn a hediyot from a hediyot, a regular person, a regular mesis is a mesis of an individual is a regular person. A mesis of an eoni dachas is also probably a regular person. Vein don in hediyot mi navi, whereas it's less logical to learn a hediyot from a navi. A navi sheker is, after all, I mean, he's putting himself forth as a navi. That means he's a higher level person. So why don't we? So in that case, it's less logical to learn from him. And the answer is, Reb Shimon answers, once he's trying to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, ain lecha hediyot gadol mizeh, there's no greater hediyot than that. He's obviously not a Navi, and therefore there's no reason why we should treat him any differently and then not learn a Gzeira Shava from him to anybody else. So the Gemara says, "Amar of Chista, machloikas beik beoiker haguf davaris kechavim." This machloikas of the Chachamim and Reb Shimon about this Navi, about this fake Navi who comes to tell people to worship Avodah Zarah, is only when beoiker haguf davaris kechavim he's taking away the whole concept of Avodah Zarah. He's telling people that Hashem said that I should tell you people that the whole concept of Avodah Zarah no longer applies, and that you should worship Avodah Zarah. Or the kiyum mitzvahs or bitul mitzvahs avodas kechavim. Or it also applies whether he's saying yes, parts of the issur of avodah zarah still apply, but parts of them do not. So with avodah zarah, in other words, it doesn't matter whether he's saying in general from now on Hashem said worship avodah zarah, or whether he's saying from now on Hashem said do that one particular kind of avodah zarah is mutter. And the reason is because the Rachmana Omar, since the pasuk says min haderech, that he's trying to take you from the way, that means afilu miktas haderech, even part of the way of staying away from avodah zarah is considered makes brands him as a novi sheker. Aval oikra guf to shah mitzvahs, but Rav Chista says when it comes to other mitzvahs, any other mitzvah, if he tells us it no longer applies. Now you have like this. There's two different sections in the Torah that talk about a false navi. You have in Parshas A where it talks about that he tries to tell you to worship Avodah Zarah, and it says don't listen to him and put him to death. Then later on in Parshas Shoftim, it talks about in connection with the dinim of a navi, it says That if the Navi says something not in Hashem, that's in Hashem's name that wasn't from Hashem, then as we learned in the Mishnah, he gets chenek for that. So now Reb Chista is saying that when it comes to, so here you have this machlokas, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether a Navi who's trying to tell people of a Zorah gets skila or chenek. But when it comes to other mitzvahs, if he tells us from now on Hashem said this mitzvah no longer applies, then everybody would agree divrei hakol b'chenek. Then everybody would agree that he gets chenek for that, and the kiyum mitzvahs, and as far as other mitzvahs, not avodah zarah, divrei hakol, if he says to keep some of it and not keep some of it, potter, then he would be potter from punishment entirely, because then it has to be only if he says dover, only if he says a complete thing in Hashem's name. So if he were to say, from now on, there's no mitzvah of Shabbos, from now on, there's no mitzvah of chaylev or whatever, then we know he's a false navi. But if he says that But if he says there is Shabbos, but for example, a particular mitzvah, a particular malacha in Shabbos no longer applies, then Rav Chista says he would be potter from mitzvah for that. So the Gemara says Masiv Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna says I have a contradiction to that. A Braita says when it says where the pasuk talking about the false navi who tries to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah, the pasuk says that he's trying to get you off the road. Ashet sivcha Hashem alakach lalaches ba, that Hashem commanded you to go in it. Lalaches zu mitzvah esa. The word lalaches refers to the mitzvah esa that he's trying to tell you to not do a mitzvah sase. Ba zu mitzvahs loisese, when it says in it, means the loisese. Rashi explains that the loleches, to go in, it means that it's something that you're supposed to be doing. So therefore, that refers to a mitzvah sase. Ba And we have a pasuk elsewhere that says asher chota ba, which refers to lois says. So therefore, from there we learn that if he's telling you to violate any mitzvah saseh or any mitzvah lois saseh, now if you're going to tell me, Rav Chista, that those psukim, this pasuk lalachas ba, is in connection with the navi who's trying to tell you to worship avodah zarah. So if you're going to tell me that if you're going to tell me that in that pasuk you're saying that only then when he's telling you to take away part of a mitzvah, then he's still chayiv misa, then that and that context is talking about avodah zarah. Essay b'avodas kachovim heichemesh kachasla. Where is an essay involving avodah zarah? All the things involving avodah zarah are lois essays. The answer is tilgum Rav Chista v'nitakstem. So Rav Chista answers yes, there is a mitzvah to break avodah zarah. In fact, it's interesting, you know, in the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah, we just finished it in Shlosha Parakim of Rambam. He has Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam contains 51 mitzvahs, 49 of them are lois essays. Only two of them are essays. One is to break Avodah Zarah and get rid of it, and the other one is to destroy an ir nidachas. So here, really in connection with Avodah Zarah, then you only have one essay, but fine, there is an essay. So now, if he were to tell you that there's no mitzvah breaking Avodah Zarah, then you know he's a false Navi. Okay, so that's how Rav Chista would understand it according to his Shita. However, Rav Hamnuna still disagrees with Rav Chista and says no. The machloikas of Rav Chachamim and Rav Shimon about whether a Novi is trying to get people to worship Avodah Zarah is chayv skill or chenek, that would be b'oikir haguf, bein b'avodas kachavim, bein b'sham mitzvahs. When he's taking away mitzvah altogether, whether Avodah Zarah or any other mitzvah, then automatically he's chayv misa, and then you have the machloikas of Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, what kind of misa? And also by avodah zarah, if he's trying to take away anyway any part of it, the rachmona omen min aderech, because in connection with avodah zarah it says min aderech, which means I feel a mitzvah aderech, even part of the way. But when it comes to other mitzvahs, then everybody would agree that when he's taking away only some of it, that he would be potter. So in other words, so because again there it says dover, and that means a dover sholem. So Rashi explains over here that Rav Hamnuna is not talking about where the word dover over there is not talking about where he's taking away something entirely of Torah. There he would get skila. What we're talking about is, for example, the case of Tzidki ibn Knana that we talked about yesterday, where there he says something in Hashem's name, which is not true. Then that's when we're saying that he's a false Navi and he gets chenek. So in other words, in short, it comes out, according to both Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna, in both cases, if he's taking away Avodah Zarah entirely, then he's chayev misa, and the machlokas Rav Shimon Nachum, which misa, chenek or skila, and with Avodah Zarah, also if he's taking away any part of it, now the difference is, what about when it comes to other mitzvahs? According to Rav Chista, if he tries to take away another mitzvah, then everybody agrees it's chenek, and if he tries to take away part of it, he's potter. And according to Rav Hamnuna, with any other mitzvah, you also have the machlokas Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, and with part of a mitzvah, then he's potter.
So the difference is
as far as when he tries to take away all of a mitzvah, he comes and says, Hashem said through me that from now on there's no mitzvah of Shabbos. From now on there's
That's
no
the
mitzvah.
Whole thing.
That's the whole thing. Right. So now, according to Rav Chista, everybody would agree that he gets chenek for that. According to Rav Hamnuna, you'd have the same machloikas of Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, whether according to the Chachamim he'd be getting skila for it, and according to Rav Shimon, chenek. An interesting point, by the way, the Meshech Chochma makes a very interesting point on this. Now, in the end, the halacha is then that if a Navi tells you temporarily to suspend a certain mitzvah, you have to listen to him like we had before, the Yo Bar HaKarmel. But if he tells you to take away mitzvah permanently, the fact that if he tries to take away mitzvah permanently, you don't listen to him, that Amam explains in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah. Since Moshe was the greatest Navi, no Navi can ever override him. So if a Navi comes along later and says Hashem changed his mind and a certain mitzvah doesn't apply anymore, then we know he's a false Navi because he's coming to contradict Moshe Rabbeinu. And we all heard Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and therefore no later Navi can contradict it. But when it comes to part of a mitzvah, we're saying that a Navi can temporarily override a mitzvah, like Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel, the Meshech Chochma makes an interesting point. After all, every other Navi has the name Navi. So in that sense, to a certain extent, he is like Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, he has the ability to temporarily tell us to violate any other mitzvah. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we didn't hear it through Moshe Rabbeinu. We heard it directly from the Eibishter, Noichiv Eliyahu V'Piyag Gvur Shmainim. Therefore, no Navi has the ability to override it even temporarily. Okay. So the Gemara continues, a Navi says to take away something from the Torah, chayev, then he's chayev misa, that he's saying that a certain mitzvah no longer applies. What if he says to keep part of the mitzvah, but to take away part of it? Reb Shimon poiter, then Reb Shimon says that he would be potter. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, even if you were to say it's only for one day, today Hashem said you should worship Avodah Zarah, and tomorrow you should be mevatel it, then everybody would agree, even Reb Shimon, he's chayev misa. So now we just had the machlokas of Chista and of Hamnuna about how to understand the machlokas of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. So how does this braisa fit with both of them? So the Gemara says Abaya sova lakir of Chista. Abaya agrees with Reb Chista's opinion before. Or mataritz lakir of Chista. He will explain this braisa in accordance with Reb Chista's shita, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second. The Rava sova lakir of Hamnuna. Rava holds like Reb Hamnuna. And he explains the Braisa, and he explains the Braisa according to Rav Hamnuna. So again, according to Rav Chista, the Machloikas was only as far as Avodah Zarah between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, and according to Rav Hamnuna, the Machloikas between them also applied to other mitzvahs, where he's taking away the whole mitzvah. As follows: a person says nevuah to take away an entire mitzvah of the Torah. Divrei hakol b'chenek. Everybody agrees he's chayiv chenek. What if he says to keep part of a mitzvah but discard some of it? Reb Shimon, like temporarily, for example, Reb Shimon poter, Reb Shimon says he's poter. And in fact, it's not only Reb Shimon would hold that, the Chachamim would hold that way as well. Rashi explains that in that case, why does it say divrei? In that case, why does it say divrei Reb Shimon? Because why does it say Reb Shimon poiter? It means, in other words, that when he says that he's potter from chenek, meaning, in other words, that even in the reisha, when he's taking away an entire mitzvah, it means he's chayev chenek, as opposed to by the other chachamim, they learn that by other mitzvahs it would be based on a different pasuk, based on achad nozia and novia sheyozer ledaber dover b'shmi, a different pasuk in parshas shoftim. So then, if we just said potter, we would think it means that here, if it said potter, we would think in the earlier part it means chayev each one according to his svara. Whereas Rav Chista had explained before that by all the other mitzvahs, they both agree that it's chenek. So therefore, that's why the Braisa says Rav Shimon potter in order to clarify for us also the opinion of the Chachamim. But then when it comes to Avodah Zarah, afilu omer hayom yivduo l'mocha batlua, even if he says worship it only today, but be mevatel it tomorrow, chayev, then he would be chayev. What is he chayev? Mau kedisle, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim hold respectively whatever they hold, skila and chenek respectively. So the Braisa can be understood according to Rav Chista's svara. Rava sova lakir Rav Hamnuna, mataritz lakir Rav Hamnuna, Rava holds like Rav Hamnuna, and he understands the Braisa like Rav Hamnuna. He learns the Braisa as follows: I'm a snabe lako dovim in a Torah. He says nevuah to take away a complete mitzvah from the Torah, bein b'avodas kachavim, bein b'shar mitzvahs, whether avodah zarah or whether other mitzvahs. Now, in Abaya's explanation, it meant that it was only talking about other mitzvahs other than avodah zarah. Now, Rava is explaining that no, this part of the Braisa is talking about whether avodah zarah or other mitzvahs chayev. Then he's going to be chayev misa. Which kind of misa? Ma'akidi islay or ma'akidi islay? Reb Shimon will hold chen. If he's saying to keep part of it and be mevatel some of it, so then it depends. B'sha'ar mitzvahs Reb Shimon poter. In other mitzvahs, Reb Shimon says he's poter, and again, v'hu adin l'rabbanan, and the same thing will apply to the Chachamim. And here also the idea is the reason why it would say Reb Shimon is because that to clarify in the earlier part of the Braisa that it means. That the that it mean that it's a chiddush even chenek even he'd even be potter from chenek even though it's the most lenient all the more so he'd be chayev all the more so he'd be potter from skila which he would have had if he was oikar as a kol if he tried to uproot the entire mitzvah. So that's why it says Reb Shimon poter as a chiddush that Reb Shimon is going to potter him even from that lesser misa. But when it comes to avodah zarah, afilo oima hayom yivduo l'mocha batlua, even if he says worship it today, be mevatel tomorrow chayev, then he's chayev misa. And again, mau kedi islay, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim are going to hold their respective opinions of what he's chayev misa. So the braisa works nicely according to both Reb Chista's and Reb Hamnuna's shittas. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabba Bahu Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Bakol, when it comes to all mitzvahs of the Torah, Im yoyma l'chon navi, avur al divrei Torah. If a navi tells you, go against what it says in the Torah, like Eliyahu b'har ha-kamel, shmaloi, then you should listen to him. And in fact, as we learned before, you have a mitzvah of listening to him. Chutz me'avodas kechavim, with the exception of avodah zarah. As we said before, that if he's mevatel avodah zarah, even for a day or even for a moment, then we know automatically he's a false navi. He also, like we said before, Tosfos discusses over here in various other Rishonim, when we say to listen to Eliyahu, are we talking about that Eliyahu comes to them with an explicit nevuah saying, Hashem told me that today we should be bringing a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam, for example, writes explicitly that way. You would ask Eliyahu, what do you mean we bring a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash? That's a chiyuv koris. He would tell them that ordinarily, yes, it is also, but I'm doing it today by the word of Hashem, because this way we'll show that Baal is worthless. So in other words, it comes out that the Rambam is learning that that Elio would have actually had to have an actual nevuah, that an actual explicit nevuah to be doing that, as opposed to Tosfos discusses that aside from that, he's entitled the Migdar Milsa, and he's entitled to make as a temporary fence around the Torah to be mevatel a certain mitzvah in order to uphold the rest of it, the same way as the Chachamim make Zeres and Takonis throughout the generations. Anyway, so here the Gemara is saying, when it comes to other mitzvahs, we listen to him as a Hodas Shah, as a one-time thing. Again, except for Avodah Zarah, even if he makes the sun stand still for you in the middle of the sky, Al Tishmaloi, don't listen to him. You know that he's a false Navi. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Aglili explains in this connection, the Torah knows how far the power, Hashem knows how far the power of false Nevi'im can go. That Hashem gives them this power that to make it possible. Therefore, the Torah, therefore, Hashem tells you, and Hashem warns you in advance that yes, they're going to have that ability. They're going to have that capability to override nature. And the Torah therefore says, "Shafilu mamin l'chachama be'emtzar rakia," that even if he makes the sun stand still in the middle of the sky, "Al tishmaloi," don't listen to him. In other words, the psukim in Parashas Tur'a says that he says that I'm going to do an ois and a moifis, and sure enough, the ois and moifis comes true. And he says, therefore, on the basis of that ois and moifis, worship Avodah Zarah, the Torah says, "Don't listen to him. He's made the sun stand still in the middle of the sky." The Torah is warning you in advance. Yes, false Nevi'im, sometimes the Eibishter is going to give them the ability to do that. But that's only Kiminasa, Hashem is testing you, yeah. On the other hand, though, that's Rabbi Yossi. Tanya, but we learn in a Braisa, Omer Abba Kiva, Chas v'sholom Shakodesh Baruch Hu, Mamed Chamala over Yitzani. Chas v'sholom, Hashem should allow that the sun should stand still for those who violate his word. How would it be possible that Hashem would allow that to happen? So what the Pasuk means is Elok ben Hananiah ben Azur. No, what the Pasuk is telling you is about Hananiah ben Azur, Shemetchilose Navi Emes, as we learned yesterday, he was originally a true Navi in the times of Yirmiyahu, although a Seif Navi Sheker. Later on, he became a false Navi. As we learned yesterday, he stole a Nevuah from Yirmiyah and made a Kavachoymer on it and passed it off as his own, and then he went from bad to worse and became an outright Navi Sheker. So then the Torah is telling you, even though you knew until now, he had a Chazakah of being a Navi Emes, and now he gives you an Ois and a Moif to uphold a false nevuah of his, still then the Torah is telling you don't listen to him. But Rabbi Akiva is saying it's impossible. Hashem would never allow in the first place that somebody who is obviously a false Navi is going to make the sun stand still. That's not going to happen. By the way, the Sifri learns from Psukim over there that it means that you don't retroactively consider him a false Navi. And the Vilna Gaon explains it means with Hanani ben Azra as well. From now on, he's a false Navi. Don't listen to him. But everything until now, you're not going to go second guess and say maybe until now he was a false Navi before. No, up until now, he had a chazaka of a true Navi, and therefore what you followed him was correct. Okay. The last thing the Mishnah had said was v'zomim bas koyin. We said that another case of a person who gets chenek is edim zomimin against a bas koyin and her boil. Whereas we said a bas koyin get in certain cases gets srefa. The boil always gets chenek. The edim when it turns out that they're edim zomimin, they also get chenek. So the Gemara says menohani mili. Where do we know that from? Omer of Acha, Breidin of Ikka, the Tanya. We learn in a Blaise, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Ma Tamad Leim of Asisim Loi Kasha Zomam Lasis La Ochiv. What does the Pasuk mean when it says that you should do to him, to the Edim, what he plotted to do to his brother? Now, why La Ochiv? The reason is because all Edom Zomim in the Torah, Zomim men, or Baalein, Kayotze behen. Then the original person who was accused, and the Edom Zomim and the Baal all get exactly the same Missa. So for example, all the misses, all the cases of Arayas that we learned earlier in the Masechta that get skila, both the man and the woman get skila, and if the Edom are Zomim, then they get skila. And the same thing with Sefer, and the same thing with any other misses based in. Here we have a distinction. Bas Koyin, but when it comes to a Bas Koyin, he besreifa vein boil besreifa. Only she gets Sefer, the boil does not. And the reason is because since the pasuk says he asavia he mechalelas, so the word he teaches us that only she gets skila. So zomimin any day im loy hukshu im lo hukshu. So now when it comes to edim zomimin, so now on the one hand they're trying to get her skila, they're trying to get not skila sreifa, they're trying to get her boil chenek. When they turn out to be edim zomimin, which punishment do we give them? We wouldn't know. So in any adam loy hokshum la hokshu keep true oma lasas la ochiv. That is why the pasuk says that he's plotted to do to his brother la ochiv veloy la achoisei. Therefore, it means to his brother, not to his sister. So, in other words, it's not that normally, of course, there's Edom Zomim achayiv misa whether they were testifying against a man or a woman. The point of this word la ochiv is in this unique case where you have a difference between the punishment that his brother, that another man would get that he's testifying against, versus a woman. Then we go with the punishment that they were going to give to the man, namely chenek. So that is where we learn that the Edom Zomim get chenek, even though what they were trying to do to her is sreifa.
Well, because she was a Bas Koyanis, right?
She was a Bas Koyan, right. But that's, in other words, so we have two different things. The fact that it says he teaches us that she gets sreifa and the boil does not, and from Vasi some lakashas on Las La Ochiv means in turn that the Edom Zomim get the punishment that they were plotting for him, not for her. Right. Tosfos, by the way, discusses at the beginning of Masechta Makos, does that also apply if they weren't trying to get him missed at all? Let's say, for example, they don't know who he was. Or let's say he ran away and they can't be testifying against him. Or let's say he was a cotton over 9 years old. So then only she's chayav missa. Does this rule also apply? And nevertheless, we say, since the punishment for the boil, if it were possible, would be chenek, then therefore also they're getting chenek. Or do we say, in this case, since they're only accusing her, maybe they would in fact get safer? So Tosfos discusses it. We'll learn Bez Hashem. We'll talk about it at the beginning of Makos. Okay. Hadron aloch Elohin enachnokin. Now that we talked about the various people who are chayiv misses based in, so now we said that when they say vidui, we learned earlier in the Masechta, they say vidui before they're executed and they get a place in Olam Haba. So now let's talk more generally about people who, about everybody who gets a place in Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Olam Haba. All Jewish people have a portion in Olam Haba. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Va'amech, your people, Kulam Tzadikim, are all Tzadikim, La'olam Yushu Oretz, they will forever inherit the earth, and the earth over here means Olam Haba. And that pasuk continues, Neitzim Atoi, they're the branch of my planting, they're the branch that I, Hashem, planted, Maase Yodai, the work of my hands, Lehispoer, that I take pride in them. So in other words, Hashem takes pride in every yid, and therefore he has a chelek l'olam haba, with the exceptions that the Mishnah is going to go on to say. There's a big machloikas, by the way, there's a big machloikas who's showing him what olam haba means in this context in the next couple of dafim, throughout this parak, we're going to talk about olam haba. So you have, like this. There's Tchias HaMesim, there's Yemos HaMashiach, and there's really four different things. There's the world that the neshama goes to after 120. There's Yemos HaMashiach, there's Tchias HaMesim, and then there's the time after Tchias HaMesim. Which one of those is meant by Olam Haba over here? There's a lot of discussion among the Rishonim. The Rambam, for example, holds that Olam Haba over here means the world of the neshamas, the world where the neshama goes to after 120. After an individual person passes away. The Rambam explains, there's going to be Yemos HaMashiach, of course, there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, but all of that, Yemos HaMashiach is going to be, the Rambam learns, Olam K'minhogin Noyag. It's basically going to be a naturalistic world, just that we're not subject to the Goyim anymore. And the Rebbe talks about in Sichas that even according to the Rambam, there's a second Tkufa in that, but anyway, then you have Tchias HaMesim, which is that the Mesim who lived throughout all the years of Golos will be able to enjoy that time of Yemos HaMashiach as well. But the Rambam learns, eventually everybody's going to pass away, and then everybody's going to be forever in Gan Eden in the world of Neshamas. So according to him, Olam Haba means the world that Neshamas go to now, every individual, after he passes away, and eventually everybody's going to go there.
means there won't be a world.
Means there won't be a physical world anymore. Yeah, based on those Gemaras later on our Perek, that can be understood that way. And the Rambam understands it that way, that eventually it's going to be pure neshamas. The Ramban disagrees with that and says that after Tchias HaMeisim, people are going to live forever. And that's what's called Olam HaBa over here. The world when we're on a greatly higher level, we're going to be neshamas in bodies, but the bodies themselves are going to be on a much higher level. The Alter Rebbe and Torah Or, by the way, agrees with that. And throughout Chassidus, it always takes that view that the ultimate reward is for neshamas in gufim. And then you have different. Yeah, there's a lot of different other. There's a lot of different other explanations. The Yad Ramah over here on the Gemara explains that that Tchias HaMeisim is Olam HaBa. That it means, in other words, when we talk about Kol Yisrael Hashem Chayes Olam HaBa, it means that they're going to have Tchias HaMeisim. And then people are going to be then at that period. Then again, there's going to be bodies. The Gemara talks about we're going to be giving truma to Aaron HaKohen. So you have that. And then earlier than all of them, Reb Sadia Gaon explains that after Tchias HaMeisim, there's going to be a similar to what the Rambam says. There's going to be a long time over there that everybody will live together, and all the people who were alive when Mashiach come and Tchias HaMeisim happens, as well as all the tzaddikim who come alive. Then people will live long lives, and people will live and eat and drink, and then eventually Hashem is going to make a new world called Olam HaBa, and the tzaddikim are going to be brought there together with their bodies, and at that time the Rishoyim are going to be sent to Gehenna with their bodies. So that's what Sadia Gaon understands. Olam HaBa means it doesn't exist now. Hashem is going to create it then as a place of as a place of ultimate reward for the tzaddikim with their bodies. So there's a number of different opinions. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. Ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek olam haba. Now the following people, though, do not have a chelek olam haba unless they do tshuva. By the way, there's a fascinating letter from the Rebbe. To somebody asked him. There was a chassid in Newark, Reb David Stockhammer, who wrote to the Friedrich Rebbe had said a maimer, and it was published in Akri Vakdusha, saying Kol Yisrael Shalom Chelek Olam Haba without exception. So Reb David writes to the Rebbe, what about our mission over here? Ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek olam haba. The Rebbe goes through a fascinating thing, explaining that even the people were saying over here that ein lahem chelek olam haba, maybe they do have a chance after all. First of all, the Rebbe explains they can have children who have schus and they bring their parents schus. Second of all, you can have, even without children, there can be other people whose schus and help them. For example, Reb Yechanan schlepped Acher out of Gehenna. Then you can have. And then if it goes on and on through different possibilities, ultimately, if you really have, there's no other way, then fine. It means the neshama is still chelik al-kavi ma'al mamash, so it means it won't be able to come alive in the same body that it inhabited in this world, because that body has been completely corrupted. But the neshama will still exist, and it will still have a place, and we'll have to come back in a different body. And it's literally, you can see in this letter, that Rebbe is not giving up on any yid. Okay, so the mission is this is our Rebbe.
Oh.
Our Rebbe in Tavshin Gimel wrote this letter, yeah. So Ve'elu she'en lahem chelek olam haba. Ha'oimer en tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. The first one is a person who says there's no tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. Now, an interesting point is that Rashi says over here is the Gemara is going to bring a whole bunch of limudim from Psukim for the concept of Tchias HaMeisim. It doesn't really say it so explicitly in Psukim. The Gemara is going to darshan it from various Psukim. So Rashi learns that it means even if a person believes in Tchias HaMeisim, but he doesn't believe in these droshes, nevertheless, Rashi says that's not enough. He's a koifer. Because what do you mean? If he says there's no Tchias HaMeisim in a Torah, who cares about his amunah? His amunah is just based on his own rationality. That's not enough, says Rashi. Now, the Be'er Sheva actually says that this can't possibly be true. And he says it must be a Talmud Toya. It can't be that Rashi himself wrote this. He Bechlal says that maybe even Rashi on this Perek, he says not actually from Rashi himself in general. He says other things throughout this Perek that he has a problem with things that it says in Rashi. But he says maybe this is not from Rashi himself, and it can't really be correct to say that. What's the difference? He believes. What's the difference whether he believes in the particular drushas that we're saying in the Pesukim over here or not? And then there are different other... There are different other explanations of what the Gemara means over here. Ein tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. That we're saying that one interesting explanation is that it means where he says that tchias ha'meisim is not as a result of learning Torah, but rather it can come from other things. Ultimately, a person's chus for tchias ha'meisim comes from learning Torah. So therefore, so if he doesn't believe that, then that's a problem in his emunah. But there are different other understandings that it means. For example, that he believes, but that he just says logically there must be a tchias ha'meisim, but the Torah never says anything about it. In other words, so a little bit different than what Rashi is saying over here, that he doesn't believe in these drushas. Fine, maybe if he doesn't believe in the drushas, it's not so bad, but at least he has to believe that the Torah is actually saying this rather than just I came up with it on my own, basically. So yeah. So So you have several different understandings of what the Gemara means over here in Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah. So yeah, the Be'er Sheva, for example, explains that means that the person says that when a person thinks there's nothing in Torah that says about Tchias HaMeisim, then that would be a problem. Even if he says, yes, there is such a thing as Tchias HaMeisim, but it means, in other words, he's saying, I believe it logically, but there's no source for it in Torah. And then, yeah, the Shev Shmaitza actually is the one who brings this idea that it means that a person has to realize that Tchias HaMeisim comes because of Ur Torah. It's the light of Torah that a person learned in this world that brings him alive by Tchias HaMeisim, so he has to believe in that. Okay, so that's the first thing. The Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, also a person who says the Torah is not from Shemayim, the Apikurdus, and an Apikurdus, which is going to be defined later in the parak, what exactly an Apikurdus is. Rabbi Akiva says also people who read external books, which the Gemara is going to explain what those are. These are books that contain kfira or other things like that that weaken a person's emunah. But we're going to see later on Daf Tzadik Tes Kuf, the Gemara is going to deal in detail with one of these Sfarim Achitzonim. Also, Rabbi Akiva continues, Va'aloicha shalamaka, also a person who whispers over a wound, Va'oimer, he says the pasuk, Kalamachla, Shasamta Mitzrayim, La'osam alacha, any of the diseases that I brought on Mitzrayim, I won't bring on you, Ki ani Hashem refecha, because I, Hashem, am your healer. What it means is basically, this was in yesterday's Rambam Shloisha Parakim, it means basically he's considered a kofer. It's in effect, he's saying that the Torah is just meant for physical refuah. So now, a person, for example, says tilim for a chayla, that's not a problem. A person says psukim to protect himself from future harm, that's not a problem. But here, where he's whispering over it, and the Gemara explains later on, he also spits, and therefore he's being mevaza, the name of Hashem, then therefore he's in Rav Akiva says he loses chelik loylam abba for that. Abba Sholem, Afa Hoigas, Hashem Boisi Yosef, Abba Shol says also a person who pronounces Hashem's name with its letters. Rashi later on in the parak, what so Rashi later on in the parak explains that we're referring to the 42 letter name of Hashem, that a person pronounces that name, then Abba Shol says he loses his place in Olam Haba. Tosfos elsewhere says that it also means a person who pronounces the name Yudkei Vovkei, which is why we say Yudkei Vovkei rather than saying the Hayes, is in order to avoid that issue of Hogas Hashem Bo Yisrael. The Mishnah continues, Shloisha Malachim Ba'abah Had Yotis Ein Lam Chelik Olam Haba. There are three kings in Jewish history and four commoners who do not have a place in Olam Haba. Shloisha Malachim, the three kings are Yerovam, Achav or Menashe. We're going to talk about all of them in detail later on in the parak, what they did wrong and why they lost their place in Olam Haba. All of them worshipped Avodah Zarah and did other serious averus. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Menashe yesh lechelik Olam Haba. Menashe does have a place in Olam Haba. Shenema, because the pasuk describes at one point Menashe was captured by the soldiers of Asher and brought in chains to Asher over there, and they were torturing him and so forth, and then he did tshuva. Vayispalel Eilav, he davened to Hashem. Vayishma Tchinase, and Hashem listened to his plea. Vayishiveu Yerushalayim l'malchus, and he returned him to his kingship in Yerushalayim. So therefore, so you see that Hashem accepted his tshuva. Omruloi, the Chacham said no. It says Lamachose Hashiva, Hashem restored him to his kingship. Veloi Lachayu, Olam Haba Hashiva, but Hashem did not restore him. Hashem did not restore him to the life of Olam Haba. If it said Vayishiveu Yerushalayim by itself, then fine. But when it says Lamachose, it means Hashem restored him to Yerushalayim only as far as that he can continue to be a king, but not that he has a place in Olam Haba. We're going to learn about it in more detail later on in Daf Kuf Yom Kuf Dalad. The Gemara is going to talk all about it. By the way, a very interesting thing, actually, the Malbim brings in his Pirush on Tilim, according to the opinion that Menashe's Tshuva was accepted, he learns that Kapitel Samach Vav of Tilim is actually Menashe's Tfila of thanks to Hashem for saving him from that. He says that not all of Tilim, he says, had to be composed, Davka, by Dovid HaMelech. Some of it could have been composed by later generations, up till even, he says, the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, and he attributes certain Kapitlach to later figures in Jewish history. He says that Kapitel comes from Menashe. Ad Kedekach, yeah. Continues the Mishnah. Arba had Yotis. Who are the four commoners? The first one is Bilam. Now, Bilam, to be sure, is not a Yid, but you would think, since he had Nevuah, maybe he has a place in Olam Haba. No, the Mishnah is telling us that now. The Doyig, the Achitofel, the Gechazi. And again, the Gemara is going to go through later on in later Dafim and the Kufs and deal in detail with each one of those, what they did wrong and why they lost their place in Olam Haba. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. We said in the Mishnah that a person says that there's no Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, then he doesn't have a place in Olam Haba. Why such a serious punishment? And the answer is Tana. We learn a Braisa. Who kafir b'tchias ha-meisim? He denied tchias ha-meisim. Lefichach lo yoleh tchelet b'tchias ha-meisim. Therefore, he's not going to have a portion in tchias ha-meisim. Now, according to the various understandings that we said before of what Olam Haba is, each of them, we said that according to some Rishonim, Olam Haba and tchias ha-meisim are not exactly the same thing. But even if they're not, tchias ha-meisim, according to them, is a prerequisite for Olam Haba. For example, according to the Psad Yagoyin, we said that the idea is there's going to be tchias ha-meisim and they're going to live long, happy lives, and eventually Hashem is going to take them with their bodies to Olam Haba, so therefore it means there has to be Tchias HaMeisim before there's an Olam Haba. And the same thing, according to the various other Rishonim, each one of them, Tchias HaMeisim, is connected with Olam Haba in some way. So now he denied that Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, therefore he doesn't get Tchias HaMeisim. Whenever Hashem pays back, is always Midah Kenegan Midah. As we have an example, the Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yonason, Minayin shekol midos of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu midah kenegen midah. How do we see that all of Hashem's midas are midah kenegen midah? Shenemar vayomer li. So you have those psukim describe in Malachim how there was a famine going on in the city of Shomra, in the capital of the Aseret Shvatim, and it was really desperate. People were even eating their children. And then vayomer li shashimu dvar Hashem begomer. Elisha says, "Here, listen to the word of Hashem." At this same time tomorrow, 24 hours from now, saw solas, a saw of fine flour b'shekel will sell for only a shekel. V'saw saim sa'odim b'shekel, and two saw of barley will sell for a shekel b'shar shomron in the gate of shomron. So, in other words, 24 hours from now, the famine will be over, and there'll be plenty of food, and prices will be much cheaper. Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, Vayana Sholish Asher HaMelech or Lam Melech Nishan Al Yodoy, the officer on whom the king was leaning says, answers as Isha Elikim, he answers the man of Hashem, he answers Elisha, Vayomer, and he says, Hine Hashem Oysa Arubas V'Shamayim, here, even if Hashem were to make windows in Shamayim, Hayyeh Hadover Azeh, would such a thing actually happen? Vayomer, and Elisha tells him, Hincha Roya Be'enecha, behold, you will see it with your eyes, or Misham Lo Seichel, but you won't get to eat from it. So what happened? Uchtiv. And sure enough, the pasuk says that the pasuk Yisrael, you have the Torah, Parshas Metzora, the Abba Anoshim Metzoroim, who were sitting over there outside the city, and they go and they find the camp of Aram is deserted, and they go and plunder it, and so forth. And the pasuk says everyone was running out of the gates to find food. By Hiloichin, it happened to this officer exactly that. By Yumasu Oisam, by Yumasu Oisam Bashar, the people trampled him in the gate. By Yomus, and he died. So we see that Hashem paid him back midah keneged midah. He denied the possibility of such a nest, and therefore that Hashem punished him through the nest actually itself. So the Gemara says, "V'duma killa Elisha gormalei." How do you know it's because midah kenegen midah? Maybe it's because Elisha cursed him. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav killa chacham afilah chinam iba. When a chacham curses a person, even if it's for nothing, even if it's based on a mistaken understanding, then it still comes true. So maybe it's that he spoke chutzpedik to Elisha in front of the king, and maybe therefore that's why he got punished like this. The answer is Imkein Lichtiv Krovayim Masuhu Vayomer. Then the pasuk would just say they trampled him and he died. My Bashar. Why does the pasuk say in the gate? Meaning Al Iske Shar. Meaning because of the matter involving the gate. And the word Shar also has a double meaning in Gemara terminology. Shar means the price. So it means because of the matter of the price. Elisha had said the prices are going to go down, and this guy mocked and said it's impossible. So therefore, so Hashem punished him Bashar through the fact that the prices are going down, and that shows that Hashem punished him Midah Kenegan Midah. The Gemara, so the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. On the side over here, it says that there are Gersoris that don't have it, but whatever. Minayin l'tchias ha-meisim in HaTorah. Where is there a source in Torah for tchias ha-meisim? Again, the Mishnah had said that a person says ain't tchias ha-meisim min HaTorah, and again, especially according to Rashi, that even if a person believes in tchias ha-meisim but doesn't believe there's a source for it in Torah, then he loses his chelik on the Mabah. So where is that source? So here's the first one. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Unesata mimenu trumas Hashem la'aron hakohen." You should give from your produce that Hashem is speaking to the Levim. You take from your ma'aser rishon and you give the truma of Hashem. You give trumas ma'aser to Aaron hakohen. Now, v'chi Aaron la'olam kayam. What do you mean? Is Aaron going to live forever? V'aloy le'nichnas la'aretz Yisrael. He never even came into Eretz Yisrael. Shenoisin le'truma, that anybody should be able to give him truma. The whole concept of trumas and ma'aser only begins once they came into Eretz Yisrael. Aaron had long since passed away by then. Ela Malamacha Osid Lichios, it means Aaron Akron is going to come alive, but Tchias HaMeisim, Yisrael Noisin Leitzurama, and then the Jewish people will give him Turama. Mikan the Tchias HaMeisim in a Torah, there is a source in Torah for Tchias HaMeisim.
So that's the way to give it to his children.
No, but then it would say Libnei Aaron Akron, as Malachi says, Aaron Akron means Aaron personally will get Turama. So that's one source. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught another. They in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught that no, the word la'aren, we can't use that for that drosha. Rather, we have a different drosha that we learn from the word la'aren. La'aren means ke'aren, means the koyan that you give truma to has to be like Aaron. Ma'aren chover, just like Aaron is a chover who's careful with truma v'tara, af bon of chaverim. The same way his descendants, any koyan that you give truma to in future generations, has to be a chover who's a tamad chacham, who's a tamad chacham, and is careful with tumah v'tahara. Why a tamad chacham? So Amar Rav Shmuel Manachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason, minayin shein noisin truma l'koyin amaretz. How do we know from a different pasuk that you shouldn't give truma to a koyin who's an amaretz? Shenema, the pasuk says, Chizkiyahu says to the people in his times in the middle of the first place of Mikdash, Vayomer la'om l'yoshvei Yerushalayim. He tells the people, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, to give the portions for the Kohenim and Levim. People had been careless before that with Truma and Meiser. So now he's telling them to strengthen that and start giving Truma and Meiser to give the portions to the Kohenim and Levim. So that they should hold strong to the Torah of Hashem. In other words, Poshet, you're going to give them their Parnasa and then they'll be able to learn Torah full time. So therefore, we learn from that. Kol ha-machzik b'toras Hashem, anyone who holds strong to the Torah of Hashem, anyone who learns Torah, yesh lo menos, he deserves the portion, he deserves truma and the other matnas korona, v'she'en ha-machzik b'toras Hashem, if he doesn't hold on to the Torah of Hashem, if he's an amaretz, ein lo menos, he does not deserve a portion of matnas korona. So that's what. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's what we learn from the word la'aron, not about that Aaron is going to get by tchesa mesim, but rather that any future koyin that you're going to give truma to has to be a chover, has to be a tamid chacham like Aaron. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Acha ba'Ada, Amar Rav Yehuda, kol anoisin truma l'koyin amaretz. In fact, if a person gives truma to a koyin amaretz, kilu noisin l'fnei ari. It's as if he's putting that truma in front of a lion. Ma'ari Suffolk Doris Va'uchel, Suffolk ain't a Doris Va'uchel. A lion, you take grabs an animal. You never know whether it's going to be Doris and eat the animal or whether it's not. Rashi explains that Doris would mean, is he going to kill it and eat it right away before it spoils, or is he only going to go and drag it off to his den and eat it later on? After it spoils. So there's different explanations among Rishonim what dirtus means exactly, but the point is, you never know exactly how he's going to do it. Different explanation of dirtus is to eat it while it's alive versus totif would be to kill it and then eat it. Whatever, the point is, you never know how the lion is going to eat it. Af koin amaretz, sofak ochel batara, sofak ochel batruma. The same way you give truma to a koin amaretz. You never know if he's going to eat it in a state of tara like he's supposed to, or he's going to eat it while he or it is tame, and therefore don't be giving him truma. So the comparison is, in other words, again, a lion, it might eat the meat while it's fresh, it might eat it while it's spoiled. One is more suitable to eat, the other one less so. The same way, the koyet might be eating at a time when it's suitable to eat and the time when it's not suitable to eat. Marsha points out, by the way, that dirtus is actually one of the simonim of trefa. One of the eight major kinds of trefas is drusa, is an animal that was clawed by a wild, a domestic animal, that was whatever, a kosher animal that was clawed by a wild animal. So therefore, the Gemara uses dirtus over here as a metaphor for tuma. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan Omar af gurdim le misa. Rabbi Yochanan says that, in fact, not only that, a person gives truma to a kohen amaretz, he's causing him to die. Because as we learned in an earlier parak, a kohen who eats truma when he's tameh is chayiv misa. Shenemo mesu voiki yichaluhu. The pasuk says they will die because of it, because they desecrate it. So therefore, so he's causing the kohen is going to have this truma. He's not going to realize he's an amaretz. He's not going to realize that he has to eat it when he's tahor. He's going to end up eating it when he's tameh. He's not going to know that he's tameh, and then he's going to be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Tana, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, they taught another braisa that a person gives truma to a kohen amaretz af masiyoy avon ashma. He also burdens him up with many averis. Shenema, as the pasuk says, also talking about continuing about a kohen eating truma when he's tamei. V'siu osam avon ashma. They will be born. They will have to bear much guilt, an avera of guilt. But ochlamas kodshehem. When they eat their kodshim when they're not supposed to. Targum Onkelos, in fact, translates it over there. That means when they eat it, when they're tomei. Rashi actually explains on the pasuk over there that it's not really the pasuk is also referring is really primarily referring to a zor eating truma, but in addition, it also means when a kohen eats truma when he's tamei, he's bearing many averus, and therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that a person does that, he gives truma to a kohen am haaretz, and he doesn't know better, and he eats it in a state of truma. Then the person who gave it to him, he thinks he's doing the kohen a favor, and really it turns out that he's causing the kohen to have many averus. Marsha points out that it uses the word ashma, maloshan and osham, like an osham is brought for a suffix, and here also it's a suffix whether he's going to eat a potato or a batoma. Okay, in any case, the point of all of that was that the word la'aron ha'kohen is not necessarily meant for the drosha of that Aaron ha'kohen in the future will receive truma, because instead it can be for this for these droshas about giving truma dafka to a kohen who was a chover, who was a talmid chacham. Okay, but getting back to Tchias HaMesim, Tanya Rab Simoyo, I mean, Nayan L'Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, where is there a source in Torah for Tchias HaMesim? Shenemar, Hashem says to Moshe, V'gama kimosias brisi itam, I've also upheld my covenant with them, with the others, losis lahemes Eretz Kanaan, to give them Eretz Kanaan. Now, lochem le'nemar, it doesn't say to you Jewish people, elo lahem, to them, v'kam l'tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. So here we have a source in Torah for Tchias HaMesim, namely that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are going to come alive by Tchias HaMesim, and they personally will inherit Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara continues, Tzedek Gom Geshem Kom Simon. This is a simon for five different groups of Goyim or Tzedukim or whatever, and who asked about the source of Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, and five Chachamim who answered them. The Girsa is actually supposed to be a little bit different. Tzedek Kom Geshem Gam, whatever, that's, that works out better. The simon works out better that way. So the first one, Shalom Minin Esram Gamliel. Now, Minim doesn't start with a tzaddik. It's supposed to be tzdukim. This is one of the things where the censors changed it. What they had against the word tzdukim, I don't know. So the tzdukim Astram Gamliel the following. So there you have the tzaddik of tzaddik of the word tzaddik and the gimel of the word geshem. The first five letters are the five groups of goyim or tzdukim or whatever, and the second five letters are the names of the chachamim who answered them. So the first one is the first one is Tzedukim. So they asked Rabbi Gamliel, Minayin Shakar Shvoch Machayim Mesim. How do we know that Hashem is going to bring alive the dead? He brought them proofs from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and they wouldn't accept them. Minat Torah, Dechtiv. Yeah, the first one was a pasuk from Chumash. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hincha Shoychev Mavisecha. Hashem says to Moshe, "You behold, you will lie with your fathers, meaning you will pass away. V'kom and rise up." So that shows you're going to die and then you're going to rise up. Omruloi, but they said maybe that's not what the pasuk means. V'duma v'koma omazev zana, because the word v'kom may actually refer to the second half of the pasuk, which in fact it does. V'koma omazev, this nation will rise up and they will worship Avodah Zarah. So in other words, Rabbi Gamliel is telling them, Marashah explains that, listen, the word v'kom can actually go with both halves of the pasuk. Hincha sheichem ma'vesecha v'kom, and also v'kom ma'amazev v'zana. But the tzedukim didn't want to accept that, and they said it refers only to the second half of the pasuk. Marashah goes on to explain, so what Rabbi Gamliel was saying, that the point is, the word v'kom, in fact, has a double meaning, because it means, in other words, when a tzaddik passes away, it's not that tzaddik hasn't lost anything, the people have lost out. So the same way, hincha sheichem ma'vesecha v'kom, you will lie down with your ancestors, meaning you'll pass away, and you will rise up, you're not losing anything about it. But v'kom ha'amazeh, but the people will rise up and worship Avodah Zarah, so the fact that they lose you is a tremendous loss for them. But the tzedukim are not accepting all of that, and they say the word v'kom just goes with the second half of the pasuk. The people will rise up and worship Avodah Zarah. So they didn't accept that proof. Next, mina neviim, they brought them a pasuk from neviim. Dichtiv yichyu meisecha, your dead will live. Nevei losi yikumon, my corpses, my dead bodies will rise up. Hakitzu v'rananu sheich ne'ofer, wake up and sing, you who are resting, who are living in the dust, you who are dwelling in the dust, the people who passed away. Ki tal odes talecha, because you do. Is a dew of light, or a different explanation of odus means, odus can also mean a type of vegetable, but in other words, it'll be a light of dew, or it'll be a dew of light, or it'll be a dew that, like the dew that refreshes the vegetables and the herbs. Va'oretz, and to the earth, refoyim tapil, It's a fine temple, and the earth will throw out of it its dead bodies. Meaning, in other words, there'll be tchias meisim. The bodies will be taken out of the earth, and they will have tchias meisim. So you have a very clear pasuk about tchias meisim. But the tzaddikim answered, the duma meisim shehech Yechezkel. Maybe that nevuah is only about the meisim that Yechezkel is going to bring alive. Yeshaya is 100 years before Yechezkel, and Yechezkel brought alive meisim, as we're going to discuss in detail on Daf Tzedek Beis. So maybe this is a nevuah about that's going to happen. Who says that it's going to be about la'asid lavay? Say the tzaddikim. Minak suvim. Rabbi Gamliel tried to bring them a proof from Ksuvim, Dichtiva, Pasuk and Shir Hashirim, V'chikech, and your palate, your taste, Ki Yena Tov, is like sweet wine, like good wine, Hoylech L'doidi L'meisharim, that goes straight, that goes in a straight way to my beloved, to Hashem, Doivev Sifsi Yeshenim, that makes the lips of the ones who are sleeping move. So now, Yeshenim means the ones who are dead, Yeshenei Ofer. So Doivev Sifsi Yeshenim, then in the future, their lips are going to move, and they're going to come alive again, and they're going to speak. So there was a proof of Tchias Meisim. So they answered, no, V'dumi R'chushim R'achshan Sivvase Ba'alma, maybe it only means their lips move in the grave, but not that they actually come alive. Ki Rabbi Yechanan, like Rabbi Yechanan says, these are Tzedukim, they're going to quote Rabbi Yechanan, but they'll do anything to get out of believing in Tchias Meisim, it seems. So Rabbi Yechanan says, D'amar Rabbi Yechanan, Meshum Rabbi Shimon Nei Tzadok, Kol mi shenemra halacha b'shmoy ba'olam hazeh, anybody who they say a halacha in his name in this world, Sif Soysev Dov V'smakever, then his lips move in the grave, meaning he has a hana, even his guf has a hana from it. Shenema Doviv Sifsi Yeshenim. So no proof from that pasuk about the actual Tchias Meisim. Ad she'omalahem mikrazeh, until finally Rabbi Gamliel told them the following pasuk, and this they accepted. Similar to the proof that Rabbi Simoi brought before. The pasuk says in Shema, Asher nishma Hashem la'aviseichem losis lahem, that Hashem swore to your fathers to give to them. So again, lachem lo'nem, it doesn't say that Hashem swore to give to you, Jewish people, elo lahem, but to them, to the others. Mikan, the tchias ha'meisim in ha'torah. So here you have a source in the Torah for tchias ha'meisim, that the others will come alive, and Eretz Yisrael will be given to them. So that was that proof they accepted. The Yesh Omrim, some say, Mina Mikra Za Omalahem. Others say that Rabbi Gamliel told the Tzedukim a proof from the following pasuk. Va'atem Advekim Hashem Alekechem, you who are attached to Hashem, your God, Chayim Kolchem Ayom, you're all alive today. Now, what do you mean, Pshita de Chayim Kolchem Ayom? Of course, you're all alive today. Moshe is talking to people who are alive. Ella, what he means is, Afilu B'yom Shekola Olam Kolam Mesim, even on the day, even when there's going to come the time when everybody else is going to be dead, Atem Chayim, you will live and you will have Tchias Mesim. It's in parenthesis. The Marshal takes it out of here. We just learn. We learn Mahayom Kocham Kayomim. According to the Gusa that we have with the parenthesis, it means we're darshining from the fact that it means that even when everybody else is dead, you're all gonna live. But instead, without that, it just means Mahayom Kocham Kayomim. Just like today, you're all living. I'm speaking to you. Af Lo'olam Haba Kocham Kayomim. The same way you're all gonna be living Lo'olam Haba. So therefore, so you see that there's Chias Amesim. Okay, that was the first one. The second one, Shalu Roimiyim Esther of Yeshua ben Chananya, Minayin Shakarish Baruch Machayim Mesim V'Yedeya Masha Osed Liyos. They asked him two things. How do we know Hashem is Machayim Mesim, and how do we know that Hashem knows what's going to be in the future? He says, from the Pasuk that we quoted before, Hin Choshech V'Avisecha, you can learn both things. Because the Pasuk says, you are going to lie with your fathers, you're going to pass away, and this people will get up and worship Avodah Zarah. So since we said that V'kom refers to the first half of the Pasuk, then it means that there's going to be Tchias Meisim, and also it means that because Hashem is predicting that the Jewish people are going to worship Avodah Zarah, that shows that Hashem knows the future. So in short, they disbelieved in both of those things. So they want a proof for both of them. And Rabbi Yeshua says, you have the one pasuk tells you both of those things. But they asked, V'dum of a koma omazeh v'zana. Again, maybe the koma is only referring to the second half of the pasuk. So it's predicting that they're going to worship Avodah Zarah. Nothing about Tchias Meisim. Amalu Huse tells them, fine, Mikotu miyapalga biyadaychu diyadeh masha osad liyos. Fine, at least from that pasuk, you can get one half of it. At least you can show from there that Hashem knows the future. Marshall explains that actually, again, given that the word vakum could refer to the first half of the pasuk, then it means definitely you know from there Hashem knows the future. As far as tchias ameisim, fine, it's like half and half. It's like a suffix whether you can learn it from this pasuk, but at least you have a 50-50 chance that you can learn that from this pasuk as well. They said also, how do we know that Hashem does both of these things? That he's Machayim Mesim and that he knows what's going to happen in the future. Because again, since the word Vakam can refer to either half of the Pasuk, then therefore it means that. Then it means that that Hashem is that's both. Hashem is Machayim Mesim and that Hashem knows what's going to happen in the future. Okay. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more of the challenges that various groups brought to the to this idea of Tchias Meisim and the various proofs that the Chacham told them in favor of it.
Yeah, Shikaya.